Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic
hits. No one wants to think about dying, so much so that, you know, many of us put off, you know, provisions or putting in provisions in place in the event that we do actually pass. But making a will now could save you and your loved ones a lot of heartache in the long term. Making a will, of course, ensures that when you die, your property and other possessions go to the people that you've chosen them to go to. Solicitors often help clients to draw up their wills and act as executors of estates, as they are trained and experienced in the legal process involved and tell you what you can and can't do, of course. So joining me on the line is John Costello, a solicitor with Orpen Franks, who specialised, by the way, in wills and administration of estates and past president of the Law Society. But I want to get your questions. If you have any questions at all that you want me to ask John Costello, who specialises in wills and probate and estates and all that kind of stuff, please text them in now to 087-188-0008. John, good afternoon to you.
Niall, good afternoon. Thank you for having me on the programme.
It's wonderful to have you on because it's such a complicated part of our life. Even though we're dead, we'll never be around to find out how complicated it is. So it is such a complicated thing. Is it like the old days? Can I just write down on a piece of paper now, I want to leave everything to such and such a body and sign it, and is that valid? Or do I have to go to the solicitor?
Well, anyone can make their will, provided it's witnessed by two witnesses. So just writing down a statement of wishes isn't legally binding unless there's two witnesses. You used to get in a stationery shop, you used to be able to get a standard will, a homemade will, if you like.
Like a template, yeah.
Yeah. And I've come across those in the past, and half of them have been perfect. The other half have caused problems because the intention wasn't clear or wasn't signed properly, and he ended up going to the High Court. So at the end of the day, it's better to go to a solicitor. I mean, a solicitor would charge, generally for a simple, straightforward will, €250 plus VAT, approximately. Now, it would depend on the complexity. A will can become more expensive if there's complexity involved. But I think the first thing to mention is that if you don't make a will, two-thirds of everything you own goes to your spouse or partner and one-third to your children. And that can cause problems, say, with the family home. If the family home is in your sole name, your spouse is only entitled to two-thirds or your partner. Similarly, if you had a farm or business.
I thought if you were married, everything automatically. So let's say, for example, if I was married, that everything that I own, very little to be honest with you, goes straight to the person that you're married to. Is that not the case?
Well, it would be the case if there are no children. But obviously most families have children, so it's not that simple. But the other reason, really, you should make a will, and this applies to young people who have one or two young children, you need guardians to rear your children until they're 18 if both parents died. So that's a very important reason for young parents to make wills, that they have, and the guardians could be grandparents or aunts or uncles, so, you know, people that know the children well.
Okay, now, in relation, well, I suppose more recent news, of course, and I'm sure you have some opinion on that, is the threshold for inheritance. The threshold, the government are trying desperately to reduce it so they can make a bit more out of us on it. Currently, the threshold is what? It keeps changing. What was it? It was changed only recently again there. It was upped a little bit. What is the threshold currently?
Well, for each child, well, first of all, there's no tax between spouses or partners, so they can inherit hundreds of millions tax-free. But a child can inherit 335,000 tax free, and the balance is anything over that is taxed at
33%. That's in a lifetime.
So that if you made a gift of 100,000 to your child during your lifetime, their threshold is reduced to 235,000. Now, I'd prefer not to get into the pros and cons of that legislation, because in fairness, it's only one issue covered in the Commission on Taxation report. And the authors say you have to look at the report as a whole. So I don't think it's fair to discuss one particular issue without talking about the whole report.
Maybe we could do that another day when we have more time for it. Okay. So in relation to a will, I mean, a will is meant to be legally binding. In other words, you know,
but it is legally binding if it's correctly executed.
Okay. In most cases, your last wishes will be followed to the letter of the law. But let's say, for example, I'm married with two kids, and I leave only 1 million quid to the dogs and cats home. yeah. or to me Auntie Mary, who I haven't seen in years and the family don't even know about. Can I do that? Will they have to follow my wishes?
Yeah, well, if you make a will and you leave everything, as I say, to the cats and dogs home or whoever, your spouse or partner is entitled to one half of your estate if there are no children, or one third if there are children. And in addition, then, your children are entitled to challenge your will if they haven't been left an appropriate inheritance. Now, the test is, has the parent failed in their moral duty to make proper provision for their children? So basically what it would mean is that the children would have to have a financial need, number one, and number two, they would have to prove that there are sufficient assets in the estate to give them an appropriate inheritance.
So if a parent passes away, let's say your mom is the only one left alive, and she has a house and she has 500 grand in savings in the post office, yeah. and she has three children, and she decides yeah. she doesn't like one of the children too much, yeah. so she gives, you know, half the money to one child, almost half to the other, and gives you 1,000, gives one of the children only 1,000 euro as a piecemeal offer. Can that child who only got the 1,000 take the other two to court?
Well, if, for example, they were a multimillionaire, they wouldn't succeed in any court challenge because they don't have a financial need. So they, first of all, they'd have to have a financial need. Secondly, they'd have to prove that the parent failed in their moral duty to make proper provision for them. And that would be something for the court to decide. They'd have to look at all the family circumstances and how the children were reared and educated. For example, if the child got nothing, say they got a third level education and had a very good job or a very successful business, and the other children were unemployed, they mightn't be able to succeed in the challenge. So it depends on the facts of each case.
How successful, generally, percentage-wise, are these cases that are taken when you know somebody will contest a will, a child will contest a will, which I assume is the most common type of thing to happen?
The cases are settled, and a judge will say that, look, he would recommend that the parties try and settle this between themselves. And I have been involved in a number of mediations in these type of disputes, and they're perfect disputes for mediation, where you avoid the cost and expense of going to court, because a few days in the High Court could cost 100,000 euro or more.
So whatever you're getting, you'd lose again.
Yeah, by going to mediation, you save all that expense, and it's a much better way of solving the problem.
Okay, lots of questions, by the way, coming in from listeners, right? Here's one here from a female listener. She says, in the event that I was to remarry, how can I ensure that the home I own now on my debt will benefit my children and not any new person I would marry? I.e., will he automatically be entitled to everything I own, or can I make provision in my will, even if I'm predeceased him, that my wishes still stand?
Well, it's quite common now for people to remarry. And what you can do is, first of all, you can make a new will, because marriage revokes a will. So if you had a previous will, you can make a new will to leave it to your children. And you can also do a prenuptial agreement. So I've been
involved. Are they valid in Ireland?
Well, they carry a lot of moral weight if they've been independent legal advice given to both parties, and a solicitor has witnessed the document. So basically, what would happen is that both parties would agree that they, and also you would also sign a renunciation of Succession Act rights, so that you'd be waiving your rights to a share of each other's estate under the Succession Act, and that's legally binding. So you can have that. You can have the renunciation of Succession Act rights plus a prenuptial agreement, and that's done in many cases.
Okay, hi Niall. I'm separated 15 years now. My mother-in-law died last year. Am I entitled to half of my husband's inheritance or any percentage of it at all?
Well, you see, that would be determined by a court.
She separated 15 years, in fairness.
Yeah, well, you see, there'd have to be judicial separation or divorce proceedings taken, and the court would have... Normally, if you receive an inheritance after the divorce or separation, the inheritance might not be taken into account in a subsequent family law case, because it came after the parties had separated.
Okay. My mom is a common law partner. She's been with her partner for over 40 years, but he's not made a will. There is one biological child between them who's in their 30s and another three stepchildren. Where does the partner stand if no will is made?
Well, cohabitants have rights if they've been living together after 5 years. And So in that case, you know, if you, it's called a common law spouse in the question, but technically it's called a cohabitant, and they have rights after 5 years. Now, they don't have the same legal rights as a spouse or partner, but they do have rights to challenge a will if they were disinherited. So they would have legal rights, and the court would have to decide on the circumstances of each case as to what the claim would merit.
Okay, I was always great and got on great with my mother over the last 30 or 40 years. Lately, my brother came back on the scene and I've now been isolated from my mother. She's now in her 80s and I believe that she's quite vulnerable, and I think that he's just playing on her, living with her at the moment, just to get her inheritance. Is there anything I can do after she passes?
Well, it's more a family problem than a legal problem. I mean, if the mother was being abused, or there was undue influence or psychological, you know, influence over her, you know, it may be possible to get a barring order, but I don't think it's that severe.
But let's say she passed. I suppose the point is if she passed away. And obviously the daughter, whoever it is being isolated from her because of this new guy.
The daughter would still have legal rights. If the mother had left nothing to her under the will, she has legal rights to challenge that will, irrespective of her brother, what he does or doesn't do. But she may be left an inheritance under the will, I don't know, under the mother's will. I mean, I think
she's probably afraid she's going to be left out of it. That's probably
what but she can still challenge it. She's still have legal rights to challenge the will.
All right, another person says, hi, Niall, what should we do? Married couple with two young kids to sort out the care for our kids just in case something happens to us. Most of our family isn't from Ireland.
Well, the main thing, as I say, as it would be to appoint guardians for the children until they're 18. Because the guardians, if you like, rear the children and step into the shoes of the parents. Now, normally, as I say, it would be grandparents or aunts or uncles. Now, if there are no immediate, if there's no immediate family, I mean, close friends, ideally people that know the children well would be the perfect guardians.
Okay. Somebody says here, I'm losing that one there. Sorry, I was just about to read it to you. Can you please ask the solicitor, can I get a copy of my late mother's will from the solicitor? The family won't really talk to each other, and we all would like to know, is one brother who lived at home was supposed to be left the house, but my mother's solicitor's days were not says we're not entitled to a copy to prove so. The executor of the will is my sister. We don't talk. Okay, so is everybody within the family unit entitled to see the will?
Well, first of all, when the will is admitted to probate, when the grant of probate issues, the will is lodged in the probate office, the grant of probate issues, it's a public document and everyone is entitled to a copy of the will then, or you can get a copy from the probate office. Now, when someone has died, the only person who is legally entitled to a copy of the will is the executor, or are the person or persons who get the residue of the estate. So if you're only a legatee, if you only get a legacy under the will, you're not entitled to a copy of the will. You can only get a copy of the will if you get a share of the residue of the estate.
So only if you're a beneficiary, essentially?
Well, one of the main beneficiaries, yeah.
Right, okay. So you can't get to see it, so you can't find out who got what.
Well, if you're an ordinary legacy, say you were left €5,000, you're not entitled to the copy of the will in that situation.
All right, okay. Can you take your own probate out? If so, how much does it cost to go through a solicitor? I don't understand that one.
Well, you can take your own probate out, and in fact, the probate office, they have a section that helps people to take out probate themselves. If you go to a solicitor, the fee might be based on the value of the estate or on the amount of work involved, but certainly you can negotiate, and nowadays, there's so many solicitors that it's quite easy to negotiate a reasonable fee, you know?
Okay. Somebody else says, my father's house went into probate. It's been over a year and a half. We're now getting to sell the home, but the property value has gone up substantially since my father's first passing. Does that mean that we have to pay capital gains tax on the value of the property? So in other words, I suppose the difference at the time of inheritance to the time of sale, do they have to pay a capital gains tax?
Unfortunately, the answer may be yes. You see, say you put in a date of debt valuation of 500,000 and you sell for 600,000 a year and a half later, you have to pay capital gains tax at 33% on the 100,000 euro gain.
So even if there's been, maybe there's been no will and it's taken a bit of time to go through probate, because probate could take a long time, particularly if there's no will, can't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I tell you, one of the options I do in practice is that I don't take out probate until we have a sale agreed for the house. And then when we have a sale agreed, I insert that price as the date of death value.
Right.
And then you avoid capital gains tax.
All right, okay. So it's a legal way of avoiding, not an illegal way of avoiding, obviously. Somebody says, can I ask about wills? If a person is still alive but has been diagnosed properly with dementia and Alzheimer's, the house is in disrepair, can the solicitor disclose the beneficiary of the house to spare the disrepair, to obviously get spare cash for the disrepair?
Well, the position, it depends on whether the ill parent has you know, a power of attorney in place or not, or whether they have to be made a ward of court. Because if they have a power of attorney in place, the attorney manages the parent's affairs, legal and property affairs. And basically, the will, unfortunately, is confidential until the elderly parent dies. The attorney may have possession of the will, but is not entitled to disclose the contents of the will. So if the parent then has no power of attorney in place, it might have to be made a ward of court. But wards of court are being replaced next year by new legislation. It's the new, and it's a new Capacity Act, and it'll abolish wards of court next year.
Okay.
So, but that's the general position at the moment.
All right. In relation to people being taken advantage of, because a couple of texts coming in mentioned that, I suppose, this whole family feud, because wills, of course, John, I'm sure you're well aware of this because obviously you're dealing with it, they cause great family friction. People fall out over wills and everything else.
Yeah.
And generally, it's usually that one, and I remember a situation many years ago with somebody I knew, where one of the siblings had got into the parents and been all of a sudden befriended them after a long, long time and hadn't even been on the scene.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they got the majority of the money in the will because they kind of had, you know, ballyragged an 80-year-old into it.
Yeah.
So is there anything can be done in those situations? Can you claim, for example, that the person of 80 wasn't of sound mind, or what way does that work? I mean, do people just get away with that sort of stuff?
Well, there's two legal issues here. One is undue influence, and one is mental capacity. Now, the first thing that if someone is in the early stages of Alzheimer's or dementia, I always get a doctor to say in advance that the parent is well enough to make the will. And because you will need, if someone has dementia and the early stage of dementia or Alzheimer's, and if it appears on the death certificate that a person had dementia, the probate office require an affidavit from a doctor saying that the elderly parent was well enough to make the will when the will was signed.
At the time, yeah.
Yeah. So that covers mental incapacity. In relation to undue influence, that's very difficult to prove. Now, the only thing, if you go to a solicitor, it's much easier to prove that there was no undue influence, because a solicitor is supposed to be aware of any undue influence, is supposed to see the elderly parent on their own and make sure that there is no undue influence. And if necessary, I've seen clients two or three times to make sure that I've got the same instructions on each occasion, because, as you know, if there's undue influence at work, that, you know, the instructions could vary from meeting to meeting. So you have to be very careful. And again, if I have doubts about if there is undue influence, I might get a doctor's certificate, you know, or a medical report.
Okay, there's a question here. My sister's been living with my mother. Recently, she passed away. She left the house between the two of us, but my sister is still living there. Without being too mean, how can I get her out of the house?
Well,
that's a problem, isn't it?
There's no easy answer. I mean, I think that there has to be some meeting of minds to, you know,
is there a legal plan. Let's say they don't get on, let's for argument's sake say they're not getting on, can she force, if the person has been living with the elderly person for a period of time, I suppose, and the house is left, say, split between the two of them, can the other one say, well, I'm sorry, this is both our houses now, either you give me half of what it's worth or you get out and we sell it?
Well, yeah, I mean, there has to be some agreement reached that they postpone the sale for a year or 2 years or more, or else there has to be an agreement to sell. And in the absence of agreement, you know, the sister who is entitled to the half share but not living there can go to court and get an order for the sale of the house.
Okay, so so you'd have to go to court to get an order to sale of the house. Yeah. Okay, that's probably, I suppose, the answer she was looking for. I can tell you what, we could be here all day. How long does probate take, says somebody else? I mean, what is the average length of time for probate, John?
Well, I mean, the position is, first of all, you need details of all the assets and liabilities at the date of death. Now, to be quite honest, you could get that in 4 to 8 weeks. You then get the probate papers signed, and it's taking 3 months now for probate to issue after the papers are lodged in the probate office. So really, if everyone is efficient, you could get probate within 6 months. Unfortunately, if there are queries with the probate papers, it can delay them another month or 2 months. But certainly, in a straightforward case, it should be possible to get probate within 6 to 9 months. Now, there are complicated cases, obviously, and they may take longer. But unfortunately, there are delays in the probate office, which no one can do anything about. As I say, it's a minimum of 3 months after you lodge the papers.
Okay, so set aside in your mind 9 months and you're probably in a bit right. Special needs wills, somebody else, is this a thing? Oh, I've lost it, sorry. That's gone on the air.
Well, I just on that point, I do a lot of wills for parents of children with special needs. I have a brother who's autistic. And you set, it's where you, a will, this is another reason why you have a will, that you set up a trust and you have two trustees who manage the funds of, say, the child with special needs. And say there's 50,000 or 100,000 in the trust, they would use that money for the benefit of the child with special needs during the child's lifetime.
I've got this one back. I'll just read out the rest of it.
Yeah.
Okay. My son is autistic on the lower end of the spectrum. He is currently receives a disability allowance, which we keep for him in a savings account. But we also have a large life insurance policy. How do we go about making special needs will?
Well, what would happen is I would, if possible, see if the set up a will, first of all, with a trust. It's called a discretionary trust, and the trustees could be two family members, and they would hold the money on trust for the beneficiary's lifetime. But you could direct that the life proceeds of the life policy go into the trust. If the proceeds of the life policy don't go into the trust, it'll be means tested, and it could affect the beneficiary's disability allowance. So the good news is that if you put any assets into a discretionary trust in a will, they're not means tested because the beneficiary has no legal entitlement to them.
Okay, two more questions and then we'll wrap it up because you've been very good, same as John, and you've been so efficient answering all these questions. As I said to you, I could spend hours here because they're just the questions are just rolling in. My partner's uncle left his family home and land to a neighbour, even though he still has brothers and sisters alive. Can they contest this?
The only people who can contest a will is a spouse, or a partner, or a cohabitant, or a child. No one else can contest a will unless there was undue influence or unless there was mental incapacity.
Okay. Another one here. Let's see. That's the same one. Hang on a second. Yeah. Hi, Nod. My mum's mother passed away. Three siblings were left the house split between them. One wants the house sold. Two don't. Does the house have to be sold or does one sibling have to be bought out?
It's a bit
similar
like
to what we're talking about.
Question. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, certainly the wishes of the majority would normally prevail. If that ended up in court, the court would try and follow the wishes of the majority of the siblings. But at the end of the day, the court, if it ended up, would recommend mediation. And that's what I'd say again. Even the three siblings could sit down with a mediator and try and sort it out between them.
Okay, because realistically, the last thing you want to do, by the way, do all wills, when they're contested or when there's a problem or a complication, do they have to go to the High Court or can they go to the Circuit Court?
Well, it depends on the value of the assets, but generally most probate cases can now go to the Circuit Court, which means that the legal fees are reduced from High Court
fees. That's what I was going to say, yeah.
But what I'm just saying is that from my experience, any probate case, any case over a will, the court will direct mediation in most cases. And in fact, the solicitors have a duty to recommend mediation to the parties, whether it's a dispute over a will or an estate.
Listen, John, it's been amazing to listen to. You're a world of knowledge when it comes to death and dying, inheritance and estates and wills.
Well, I hope it's been helpful.
Well, by the way, do you have your own will done up there, John? I'm just curious.
I have my own will. But I should mention, by the way, an enduring power of attorney. For retired people, you know, you need a power of attorney if, for example, you got a stroke or Alzheimer's or dementia, you know, a family member to manage your affairs if you become unwell. So an enduring power of attorney is relevant for, you know, retired people.
Yeah. Look, it is an important conversation because I know there's many couples around the country and you could be 30 years of age or only just married. It's important to do a will-up. It's a really uncomfortable conversation to have with your partner, but it's something that really needs to be done because if there's no will, it sometimes can be a problem. So it is really worth doing and worth talking about. Listen, thank you very much indeed, and I appreciate you coming on the air. John Costello, solicitor with Orpen Franks and specialising in wills administration of estates. Thanks very much indeed. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Niall. Thanks.
There you go. Okay, now... By the way, if you have any other questions, by the way, you can contact Orpen Franks themselves. That's O-R-P-E-N. All right, if you have any other questions, because look, there was hundreds and hundreds of questions coming in there. I couldn't read them all out. I'm sorry, I went through as many as I could, as quickly as I could, because obviously I didn't want to keep John too long. But if you have any other questions or ones, there was a lot of questions that came in, they were a lot more complicated. They were telling us almost their life story. I wouldn't have the time to do that in the air, and they get very complicated too to answer. But if you want to contact John yourself or Orpen Franks, I'm sure they will be happy to answer those questions for you or give you any kind of advice or arrange a consultation for you to talk to them. Anyway, get a will done. That's the message sent out today.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show.